When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
San Francisco.
Ooh, are you going to San Francisco?
I am. Oh my God.
We both are.
Yeah, for Race Chaser Live,
yes,
at the Castro Theater.
Next week, January 22nd, we will be at the legendary Castro Theater in San Francisco.
Now, if you're unfamiliar with Race Chaser, come to the show and learn about it. It's not exactly a live version of our podcast. It is a live version of our podcast, but better. Just look at my YouTube video. There's ponies. There's a giant hot dog truck. There's so many gags and goops.
Yeah.
You'll be gobsmacked.
Yeah.
3 G's, girl.
It's really exciting because we get to share live and in person the experience of the podcast, but with a live audience. And mm-hmm. You get to be part of that audience.
Yeah. It's unique to SF, too, because we'll be tailoring it to your needs, your weather conditions, your wants, your pigs.
You fully never know what's going to happen at a live experience. We just did the Los Angeles edition, and it was a great amount of fun and truly anus thing is possible at an event like this. You can get tickets at peacheschrist.com, or you can go to racechasertickets.com, and you can look at a beautiful picture of us and get tickets at the same time.
How convenient. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. We'd love to see you at the show, but
yes,
if you'd love to see us even more up closer, you can do that with a VIP ticket, and that gets you complimentary cocktails, seating in the VIP section, and a meet and greet with a cute little wristband, I think. How cute.
We're so excited. We're so excited to be in San Francisco and bring Race Chaser to you live, so
bitch,
we'll see you there.
We are going to be your own personal bread bowl of knowledge. You're going to want to dip into that a lot.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw. Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser.
Race Chaser.
A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is all beginning.
And then jumping around indiscriminately as we choose. My name's Alaska. What's yours?
I'm Willem. And this is All Stars 4.
And we have a very special guest in the studio today. Ben De La Crown is here.
Hello, everyone. Hi.
Terminally delightful. Roasting in peas.
Yeah, this was such a sad episode. It was so hard to say goodbye to Lady Bunny.
It wasn't sad if you didn't watch it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because we were doing Race Chaser Live, and I think I caught all the important stuff, but I didn't catch everything.
Well, right. I was watching you do Race Chaser Live.
Oh, my God.
I managed to do both, Willem.
Wow.
How'd you,
which was a fantastic show, by the way.
So you watched it at 3 a.m. when it came on?
Yeah, I watched it at 3 a.m. on VH1.
It's so tough, those long nights staying up to watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
It's true, yeah, yeah.
You're so dedicated.
I know, yeah, yeah. No, I was just, it's one of those things where I just sit and I like refresh and I refresh and I refresh until I can have that special moment and hear that titillating chuckle.
Oh, titillating chuckle.
You know the one. That was like half Ru, half Lady Bunny.
Wait, who had the laugh? Oh, on season 5, J. Jolie had the laugh that they did. Like, they just kept editing it. Like, she would just be like, and then we walk into the work.
Not to get off topic, but to get off topic. J. Jolie recently did one of my favorite. It's my favorite illusion of the year so far.
What was that?
I'll show you. It's the best.
Make sure we send it to the Graham as well for the
for
pod.
Sure.
Race Chaser Pod Graham.
She's got babies strapped to her legs, too.
Oh, she did Bird Box.
She did a Bird Box number.
Oh, my God. Wait, let me see this. I'm not wearing my glasses.
She looks...
Oh, my God. These
Jay
little...
J. Jolie for All Stars 5.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
She really
She's
should
been
be.
Killing it.
She's sickening.
I've been really every talented. Time I go. I mean, yeah. Every time I go down and work
at play
with her, it's so like fun. Whatever look she's bringing just like blows me away.
Yeah. Kills it. Yeah.
It's really. I mean, she's come so far.
She's a superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're already casting All Stars 5. Season 11 hasn't even happened yet. So Tammy Brown is gonna come back. Mm-hmm. This is what we're just casting it right
I'm
now
ready.
In this
okay,
room.
Great. Yep.
Jay Jolie.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes.
Absolutely.
For sure. Mayhem.
Uh-huh.
I'd love
Angina.
To see more Mayhem.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yes.
Jade Sotomayor. Battle of the Jades.
Two Jades.
Ooh.
Oh, you know they
the
want to lip sync with
all.
Two Jades.
Battle of the Jades. Yeah. Yeah. And then we just need Coco in there just to say, get her Jade.
Ooh,
yeah.
Get her
to
Jade.
Both of them
get her
over
Jade.
And over.
Get her Jades.
Over.
Get her both Jades. What?
Ooh, y'all got Jades.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, no. But technically it is.
Oh,
four.
I just got that joke.
Yeah.
Offensive.
Yeah, not as bad as the Patient Zero joke this week.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? But she had jokes.
Yeah, they were funny.
Jokes.
I mean, I appreciate that. Yeah. I didn't say it wasn't funny. I said it was offensive. And the most offensive things are the funniest to me, usually.
I just appreciate something that's, like, written and well-structured, you know?
You are right. I've noticed. I watched your holiday show, and you are an amazing performer, but you're... I don't want to say you're even better at writing, but you're writing. It's every line is chock full of a joke. That rap, it's every line was entertaining if you just read it without even knowing it was a song. Like, you're a really talented writer.
Thank you.
You should write for half these girls putting out music because Lord knows they aren't. Have you done an album or anything?
No, I haven't. I've actually been sort of like talking about finally doing it because I always was like, well, I'm more of like a parody lyricist than like I'm really not a vocalist. But then I was like, well, I guess now that I'm listening to what other people are putting out,
it's
then that's not going to stick.
Any of
yeah, exactly.
Darling.
This is the franchise to be a part of if you can't sing.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah. So
get on the boat.
Yeah. So yeah. No, I think I think it might be time sometime soon because at this point I've accrued a lot of I've got a lot of songs that I've written for shows over the last
you have
few years.
Albums so. Worth of material.
We'll see.
Just spend a month in a studio down in LA and bang out three of them, then you got material for the next 3 years.
Perfect. All right. Great. Yeah. Maybe. Hey. Maybe I can audition for the next girl group.
No white girls. Sorry.
Oh, no more white girls. Okay,
no more white girls.
Great.
Too many white girls. It's like the Drag Race Hall of Fame.
Okay, let's talk about the episode.
Although there's only one white girl left on All Stars 4 right now, which
dun,
is kind
dun,
of cool.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing
Well, they only
cast.
Put 2 on out of 10. To make sure that those were that the table was kind of the dice was stacked.
But that's great.
I know it's good. They need to.
It's needed.
And where's the big girls? Are there big girls still? Were there any big girls on All Stars this year?
Latrice.
Oh duh, yeah.
Latrice.
The OG.
How did I forget that? She's on a song that I just put out called Oral, and the video's out next week.
Ooh.
So we're back in the workroom. Manila's really upset because Latrice just went home.
You think she ordered those tears from China?
No, I think the tears are real. And I rewatched it on a big screen and the tears are real.
I was just quoting Drag Race. I didn't doubt that.
On the other
I thought you'd appreciate that.
On the other podcast, they were saying that Manila's delivering like some fake, like emotional, like production. But I think it's really easy to cry when you're there.
I agree. I think it seems very genuine, and knowing Manila, it seems genuine. And there's also just that the but being on that show, I feel like makes you like quicker to have those types of emotions anyway.
Every emotion that you have while you're there is heightened. If something's funny, oh my God, it was the funniest thing. If something's sad, it's like tears, instant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can't speak English.
And once it starts, you go into that crazy like headspace of like, oh, somebody is like, this is being recorded and edited and whatever. And then it makes it like, for me, I'm like, get even more.
It's a feedback loop.
Yeah, exactly. Completely. Like spin out of control.
I know nothing about
start
that.
Huffing your white out.
Never happened to me.
Exactly.
I know. I never experienced that feeling. this episode is called "Roast in Peace." The tribute to Lady Bunny. I was thinking like how in bad taste it would have been if Lady Bunny actually died, like the hours leading up to this airing,
like before it aired,
or like they right after.
But are you kidding? Bunny would have loved that.
I know, that's the thing. Because even if that did happen, Lady Bunny, it would make sense.
Yeah, she would want like the most offensive possible way to go.
And I think a funeral on TV would be the best way to do it. Raya Latre, who's like my drag sister, we're planning each other's funerals and we're doing a YouTube about it. I've decided I'm getting cremated to Through the Fire by Chaka Khan.
Oh.
Because I was inspired by Latrice because she walked down the wedding aisle to Through the Fire and it was sickening.
Do they have a DJ at the cremation?
I think Anthony's going to do it. DJ Pastabody. But speaking of Latrice, her lipstick message said, "It ain't over till the fat lady sings. I love you all. Yeah. Stay fierce and above all, love each other. Latrice Royale."
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's classy. Latrice is ever classy.
Always.
You know.
It's weird to see her go, though.
So strange.
She's done it three
times
before.
She was like, bye.
It's always weird.
She's like, okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. All right. I'm going to go back to work.
Yeah, right.
So this is the first time that we get a walkthrough from RuPaul in the workroom.
But from what we hear, Ru's been doing the walkthroughs, but it hasn't been shown because there's been enough drama, you know, which we all kind of live off of, I guess. How many minutes is the show? 42? Or is it longer now?
It's 60.
60.
It's 60. Each episode, 90 minutes with the show.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, they're chalking it full. That's for sure.
Yes. RuPaul is really loose with his walkthroughs. Like, his attitude is very loose.
Very casual. Yeah, it's very, it feels like a just girls' night out.
Yeah.
Like, where's the intense, like, stare down, make all the girls panic energy that we're so familiar with?
Yeah.
I think he knows these girls, and maybe that's why there's more of a casual thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably picked them to come back, you know? It's not like he's, like, has to be the Sphinx with all these new girls and scare them into submission.
Right.
I think a second chance to be in the workroom would be super fun. I think it would be way more relaxed than the first one, but I haven't been there. Was it for you guys?
It was for me, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like it was interesting.
Making him laugh is, like, just fun.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it's, like, interesting to be, like, when you're not in that place of panic that I was in on season 6 of, like, oh, Ru's in front of me. That's like, oh, we're actually just two people in weird outfits in the middle of this, like, pink fake brick.
Right.
We're just, like, having a conversation.
Yeah. On All Stars 2, one of the walkthroughs, which they didn't air, RuPaul asked everyone what plastic surgery they had.
Really?
Yes! Everyone. And Adore was there. Like, it was really early on, so, like, everyone was there. And, like, I tried to be evasive. I think I was like, oh, nothing. I just sleep well, and I drink a lot of water, and, you know, like... And she was like, okay, but really, what have you had done?
Yeah, you really retain water in specific spots.
Like, really, I do. I'm still pubescent. Like, I'm still growing. Also, I think people's perception of beauty is changing. So people see me differently. Like, they just think I look different. But no,
she just,
like,
wants to know who's doctor, because you know she took our music producer, Mark.
Well, why not?
She watches what the girls are doing, and then, you know, she... And it's a great idea, you know.
It didn't air. None of it aired. But, like, I'm happy to talk about it among sisters, you know, if I were to ever get that.
If I were to ever do anything, I'd be comfortable with it, too.
I've never tried it.
I don't know.
Some of the girls do it.
It's a fad.
Some of the girls try it. It's a fad.
I feel classic. I feel like I'm a classic gal.
Classy.
I don't need to rely on all those little tricks.
Miss Continental Classic.
Elite.
Oh, elite.
As the only girl in the franchise who's actually just aging gracefully, I don't know how to interject myself in this conversation.
All right.
Big use the doors over there. That's how. Take those pomegranate seeded guacamole and hit it.
Get that.
Antioxidants.
My time is valuable, so you better hit it.
If you don't have any money for me, my time is valuable, so you need to hit it.
Oh,
Sonique season 2. Cherry pie.
So, okay, RuPaul does the walkthrough. He talks to Valentina, and he's like, okay, so you don't consider yourself a comedy queen. What kind of queen are you?
Oh, a star queen.
Oh,
she's
a star queen. Right.
I mean, I told Ru I was a star to her face, and she didn't flinch because I quoted her book.
Yeah.
That's how you got to do it. You got to compliment, and then get your agenda in there.
Yeah.
So you don't look like a fool, because they won't cut you advertising RuPaul products ever.
No. But also, like, a star is not a thing. Like, that's, like, there's a thing that gets you to be a star, right? And I feel like that's implied frequently. Like, we understand, like, the skill sets. But if somebody's, like, questioning, can you do comedy, you can't just say, like, well, no, I'm a star. Like, that's not a response to that.
In my head, I was like, well, oh, okay, a star is good at everything, but specifically, what are you good at?
Right.
Well, it's a very Valentina response.
Yeah.
Because kind of her, I mean,
it doesn't rule her out in any way. It only generalizes her more and says, I can do anything.
That's true.
Basically.
Yeah.
And in her mind, she can do everything.
Except get that leather pantsuit to fit right, because you know what? She wore it for the Rent press day. And I said, honey, that crotch is still baggy.
It fit fine.
No, it did not. That crotch is, how dare you?
Fine.
How dare you? I'm going to the gram.
I did not have a problem with the puckering of the crotch.
It looked
I love the garment.
No.
I think the garment is fabulous.
It looked like,
and
she
in her
had,
mind, she has already won.
Honey, it looked like she had Manila's maxi pad dress between her thighs.
Oh,
I'll tell you that.
God.
I will tell you that. Rent live dress day. Valentina.
What are you doing that in Google? Valentina press day rent live.
Yes, I am, and look.
It's the first image that comes up.
That baggy crotch.
Maybe it's intentional.
Jade Jolie would never.
Never. It doesn't fit right.
Her hair is
lovely. Yum.
Her hair is lovely. She looks like Alexis Michelle.
This is...
There.
Okay.
It's a great picture.
It's a very beautiful... I want to know what her eyebrow product is.
Oh my gosh, she's great. I love her. I'm going to see Rent live, the dress rehearsal.
You are.
25th.
Oh, that's
so
right. Yeah,
everyone will get a full report after this break.
We're going to take a break.
Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. You're literally getting them out of you by speaking them and figuring out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
That's right. And I think, and I've said this before, I think therapy is a very useful tool, whether you've been through something very traumatic or you're just trying to better yourself.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. You don't have to leave your house. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Yeah, all the therapists have licenses, so get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts, and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Bold.
All right. Hello. This is, you can tell this is a big get for RuPaul's Drag Race because Cecily Strong is like so fierce and such a fixture on SNL right now.
Not only is she a performer, she's one of the head writers, I think.
So brilliant.
She's like so brilliant.
Yeah.
And for her to be a fan of the show, she put Peppermint and Jiggly on SNL this year too.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Which was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can tell that she is a fan of the show because her her responses are learned and studied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's really, like, she's, you know, she does that Drag Race guest thing very well where you can tell that she's supposed to make everybody nervous about everything, but she's, like, doing a good job doing that and also being encouraging instead of just doing the, like, oh, you're fucked.
Right.
Oh, you're last up. Ugh, you're going to tank.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you notice the way they have her sitting, it's almost front on, but you can't see her left ear. So I think that she has the earwig in there. Because they have to tell you, okay, you know, you're being too nice to this girl.
Say something good and bad about each girl.
Right. That's my own personal working theory.
And yes, that's Monet.
See, look, she's tilted just so that you can't see her left ear. Oh, yes.
And let me tell you, she has a bag of hair in. And then later, hair was curled. That was a great day for her.
And she is painted for
a lash,
filth.
A wing tip liner.
And I'm loving this, like, academic goth top.
Yes, it's very...
Is it Gucci?
Wednesday Addams.
That frill makes me think it's Gucci on the sleeve.
She looks amazing.
That tip of highlighter on the nose.
We like Cecily Strong. Oh, yeah,
we don't like her. We love her.
Yes. So she's coaching the girls. I don't know. Who does I guess we can get into that when we get into the actual roasty toasty doodly doodle.
Well, I totally thought there was going to be a misdirect because I saw that Naomi was doing pretty good in the rehearsal, and I was like, oh, she's going to tank in the real one then. And they showed Manila. Happened. Oh, did it? Mm-hmm. And then they showed Manila, like, the worrying about the scenario of being put last. They indicated that it was not desirable, probably. And then Manila was last and killed it.
See, in a drag show, don't you always want to go last?
I don't.
I think
that's when all the money's gone.
Well,
there's no money on the floor.
Girl, I want some coin on the floor. You need to hit that ATM.
It's when the stakes are highest, so you can have the biggest win, but you can also fall the farthest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They read me for putting myself first during the roast challenge on season 5.
Who did you roast?
The order. RuPaul. It was amazing. It was fierce.
Did you win?
No, I didn't because I went first.
Who won?
Probably Jinx.
Jinx is really good at roasting.
She's very good.
She did a 45-minute set at Murray and Peter's Haters Roast, which I'm on this year.
Coco Montrese won.
Coco was great. Yeah. She was Rue's cousin that year.
She did a character and it was
her play cousin. It was really fierce. Jinx did a 45-minute roast set and we were like, that was way too long. It was hilarious, but you can't do 45 minutes
on a haters roast?
There was one that
That's
I clocked.
That's the whole show.
There was one I clocked at 37 minutes. We were in the theater performing until like 11:15. We're like, Jinx, no more. No more wine before the show. Mm-mm. But she's so funny.
And in her mind, she's like, I kept it tight under 10, right? Like, afterwards. Like, she's like, yeah.
I mean, it's always good. Like, everything she says is always, really spot on. But, it just needs an off switch.
There's a lot of buildup sometimes, and it's a windy road to the bam. But the bam's always there, for sure. Alexis Mateo style. Do you think that listening is as important as talking when you're on a reality TV show? Because some of these people seem to not.
Oh, yeah. Who was just talking over?
Monique.
Oh, Monique. Yeah, I was just talking right over her. I was cringing.
Yeah, as I interrupt. I always say you have two ears and one mouth. No, use your ears more, but like...
Two mouths and one ear.
Ooh, girl.
Willem's dream date.
Jesus, I'd get so much done. And she's wearing a brown cow shirt.
Stunning.
She's on brand, okay?
She's branding hard this season.
She's letting us know the brand and delivering at all times.
And I'm not going to talk about them shoes because Latrice did the same thing.
So the girls kind of make up in the workroom. There's a moment with Manila and Monet where they sort of like come to an understanding about why Manila chose to save her friend Latrice.
Mm-hmm.
And how dare Manila have friends? That is just it's so shady that she has a friend.
Agreed.
It's really disgusting. Ugh,
form relationships over friends. Time?
Ugh. Yeah, it's like really gross. It's horrible. Everyone's like that's what I don't understand about All Stars. It's like, how dare you have friends? Everyone is like coming for her for wanting her friend to stay.
Well, it's a weird thing where so many of these girls are like just turned around and walked back in the door. And there's only a few girls who have had the time to really like tour together and have like steeped in this common experience.
To borrow each other's good bras for 8 months mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. You know?
I don't know. It's so weird to watch just like the cultural difference between the new girls and the girls who've been around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It's weird because now we realize that, oh, you were on Drag Race? One of the single digit seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Four.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, old. Old lady.
Manila keeps talking about how old she is on the show. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Let me tell you. Let me tell you about Manila. When she said in her interview on season 3, Manila Luzon from New York, blah, 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 she lied about her age. She said she was like 23 instead of what she actually was, which was 28. And so no one's in the editing room checking, oh, well, I bet she lied about that. Because, you know, you take it as face value and it's on there as 23. Because you know who else lied about their age? Sahara. She was 74.
Oh my gosh. Let's get to the main
Why
stage.
Wouldn't you say you're older so you people think you look amazing for your age?
Manila's smart. She knew that she was going to be on 3 seasons of this goddamn show.
She knew.
She said, yeah. This is till I'm 40 at least.
Yeah.
She'll be back. She'll be back.
We get to the main stage. RuPaul looks gray, neon pink, and orange velvet.
Delta's doing it so well.
Oh, yeah.
I
think
this
she
would
is
take
that
my
Christmas
calls,
queen I would show get this hair. Wig.
I think it's bigger and better and a little more
it's a different color.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
This hair, it looks like there's wind in it, yet there's not, which is like, you know, the trick that you want with every hat.
Yeah.
And her face has just looked incredible this season as well.
I don't like that earring. I think it should have been pink.
Okay. All right. That's our top dispute of the week.
Top dispute and
is the earring.
The hair is a...
Salute!
Salute! Salute!
Can you get sound effects? You spoiled us because we had sound effects last night.
They come
I know.
Later.
Yeah. Later. This, they put them in later. And usually it's them playing over me trying to simulate it with my own voice.
I never
like,
cut that part out.
I know. Like, no. It works. It works. Like, we need some news noise. Like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then they play it in the actual product. Something I love is that RuPaul never matches her outfit to the theme of the runway or the theme of the challenge.
Never.
Ever.
Lies.
Okay, it's happened like twice.
Remember
when
she had pink eye and she did the glasses
space,
and the mask?
Space Age Apocalyptic.
That matched, right?
That's true. She also, she did Mother of the Bride.
Season 1. With
season
that.
2.
Oh, yeah.
And on season 6, she like sort of did a horror theme on the horror episode that we did, but it was like kind of, you couldn't tell whether it was on purpose or not. It was, you know.
Yeah.
Ooh, bitch, she did a space futuristic one, episode 2 or 3 of my season, and then Princess walked out in the same thing. Like, it was silver hooded thing, and I think Princess went home that week.
They were wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
And she said her packing.
Yeah, that was the Dita. That was This Will Be, that lip sync. Yeah. So and when Princess came backstage, she's like, I'm in the same thing. And then we had lunch and she spilled something on it.
No.
I was like, this is so rude. This is why we shouldn't be eating, doing lunch right. Oh, the worst. Why do we have to eat? Oh, we're going to get one critique done. Now go eat. Go gorge yourselves, ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, your corset's never been pulled tighter in your entire career. Yeah. Now you're supposed to jam a burrito into it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Y'all got burritos? No, I'm just kidding. Never. I just love it though because it's the most pimp thing. It's like, okay, the challenge is wear red. Everyone's wearing red. And she just shows up in like a green, like I think it's pimp. I think
Yeah, she's
cool.
Just really hitting it home that these rules
she's
do
like,
not apply to her.
No, not at all. And I think it's so pimp.
I love this.
Is like a funeral. Like everyone's in funeral black and then angelic white. And RuPaul's like, I'm wearing beachy pink.
First of all, Ross is in Gucci, and Michelle did mascara tears on her face. And denim is not funeral appropriate, Yvette Nicole Brown.
But she looks great. I mean, I think they weren't instructed.
Yeah.
But Michelle, I think, goes more with the themes than anyone else on the judging panel, because I think her makeup this episode is sort of Lady Bunny-ish.
Well, I was
it has
actually
like a
also,
white under thing.
I was thinking that Rue's hair feels a little nod to Lady Bunny as well this episode. Like it's bigger and blonder and
no bangs.
Could you imagine Rue with a bang? Just a good heavy bang and a lower lash.
I see a bang down to her nostril. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Bunny looks amazing.
She does.
Everybody looks good laying down because that's when all the
pulls everything back.
The fat just lays.
The audience crying.
Just weeping. Oh, look at this. These extras just looking to be discovered.
They're acting their lives.
This coffin, I'm obsessed.
It's so good. They're all flipping through the programs.
Lipstick Nick slayed this makeup, and Hector, her hair looks great on it.
Yes.
Who opens?
This is a fun challenge because they get to do funeral black, which is one of my favorite like looks to do.
Ugh. Well, and when you had your veil reveal with that's one of your iconic makeup moments.
Oh, the smeared makeup.
Yeah,
I thought Valentina was gonna do it, but she didn't.
That smeared makeup moment is a gif of you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Someone just used it last night. I don't like wearing black on stage because you kind of lose yourself unless it's a color background.
Yeah, you never wear black.
Oh, yeah. Well, good thing you didn't decide to do black hair because in front of every black curtain, I look bald. I look like I just didn't show up with a wig. You better put some side light on me.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh, side light? A drag queen requesting side light?
Oh, listen, it has to be like the right front light. You need the side light, like perfectly just creating that halo around your hair so that you can tell that I didn't just like show up with my forehead spray painted and nothing else.
Yeah.
Good color spray. I have a specific hair light for when I do beat down. It is over my head like a halo.
Oh, really?
It's good. Yeah, my guy figured it out.
Halo!
What you guys aren't seeing is Tyra is a complete bitch.
Monet starts off the funeral roast, and she starts off really strong. She has a glasses reveal, which this is my kind of humor, is she takes off sunglasses to reveal an identical pair of clear glasses. That's comedy.
That's funny.
I love
that's
that.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah, I thought Titus was really funny when he did it on Kimmy Schmidt.
Hey, I love a good reference.
Me too.
I love it. Monet does really well. She's a very strong performer.
And yeah,
it's hard to go first. You have to set the tone for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Stacey Lane Matthews is going to be able to collect unemployment after being on this season three different times.
It's the Stacey Lane Matthews green screen special.
She's the season's mole.
She's the mole. She is.
Bunny's wig looks crooked.
Well, she's laying down.
That's crooked.
I once did a show with Lady Bunny, and she super glues across her entire forehead. Super glue, like gorilla glues across her entire forehead, and that's how the thing stays on. So it's just corrosive adhesive across her forehead, and
you
that's keeping these huge mountains of hair on.
We did a show with Bunny at the Ace Hotel, and it's on my YouTube. There was a point where her and another girl got in a debate about who ate Bunny's food. And Bunny turned around on camera and said, "I'm fat too." And it was the funniest thing. It's one of my favorite things ever that Bunny has done, other than tell me where to go to suck dicks near the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah. Is Trinity Taylor doing a Joan Crawford character? And we just aren't. The eyebrows, the makeup, the lips, the hair, all Joan Crawford.
The button earring.
The characterization doesn't, I mean, it never occurred to me based on what she's actually doing, but maybe it's a visual reference.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
But I actually think that would have behooved her because I think that part of what was happening here was that people, even though they said that Monique was the only one who like did a character, kind of everyone who was doing this really well was like doing a character. And I think that Trinity got a little lost in like, because she does so well, like she did so well as Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
And I think if she had like even decided that she had a subtle character, that it would have helped her not be like sort of nervous and lost a little bit.
Yeah.
I think when you think funeral, you always think, oh, like black netting. If you're a drag queen, and black netting and like glamour lends itself to like the 40s, 50s.
Right.
So maybe that's how we're getting the Joan vibe. Valentina has sunglasses on because she didn't manage her time well enough to finish her makeup.
She looks so amazing though. Those sunglasses.
Oh, I know. I'm sitting, but I'm pressed and refusing to have a seat about it.
Right. Because she was using the time, the makeup time, to finish writing her jokes.
But if you can, here's
that's
the thing.
That's a time management issue.
That's a time management issue.
Connecting with an audience is super important. And if you can't see the whites of their eyes, this is always my rule with photography and video. If you can't see the whites of my eyes, it's not lit right. And the audience can't see me and can't connect with me. So I don't like that she's wearing sunglasses.
Well, and if you do not have your... Also, if you're not prepared in any way, it's like, yes, the writing's important, but the makeup is important too. The audience needs to feel taken care of. They need to feel like you prepared and they're safe in your hands, you know? And like, they're not going to feel secure in that.
Or scared.
Right.
Yeah. That you'll turn around and douse them with butt water, you know? One of the two.
But they need to feel like you're in control. And
yes. You can piss on them.
Okay, well, I think we're about 3/4 of the way through the show, so I'm going to leave.
Yeah. This is your time. You've written your name onto one of these cue cards that Big Dipper is holding up. Okay, we're taking a break. Bye.
You can finish the joke.
I don't know where I was going. That was it.
3/4 of the way, Bentley.
For the first time ever, our very special guest has decided to leave the studio early, but she said thank you for letting her be her own kind of podcaster. So she respectfully,
and she wasn't here.
Left the podcast.
Yeah, she wasn't here to win at podcasting. She was here to prove to herself that she could podcast.
We're just kidding. Ben DeLacombe is still here.
Hallelujah!
We love having jokes on this podcast.
I love a good joke.
Can you write us some?
Please.
Sorry, what I meant was I'd love a good joke.
Did you? Oh, wow. Yes, exactly. Did you write for anyone on this season?
She wrote for Jinx at her own show.
I mean, like, you know, I've not written beyond live stuff. Like, I've not done any TV stuff, but I'd love to. I'd love to.
Well, the girls who go on All Stars, they employ other people to write jokes and help them with material and help them with bits. So,
but the thing is, is that
something you would do?
I take cash or check. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Was that exit speech that you made on your season scripted ahead of time?
Mm-mm. No, I was speaking from my heart. I mean, whatever. Like, who does something that bold without some talking points? You know. But no, I was really trying to be.
People.
Well, sorry.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm a planner, that happened was, you know, was actually fairly spur of the moment. Like, I made all those decisions.
Did you say sperm of the moment?
I did.
Sperm of the moment.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to keep you focused.
Can I get an order?
Okay, so let's talk about some more of these roasters.
Yo, Naomi looks beautiful.
The roasters. Naomi looks beautiful. And there's a garment on the ground, which we didn't get to see. I
must have been a reveal.
She had some sort of reveal. She must have, but there wasn't.
She looks like a mistress at a funeral, and her waist is only probably double the thickness of her arms. She's so beautiful.
It is insane. It's like hard to understand what you're looking at when you see her. Her proportions
are out of control. Her wigs are great. She's nice. She's never rotted.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by, I almost nodded off because this Helix mattress is so comfortable. Helix Sleep!
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
I've had several many Helix mattresses for several many years now, and I love them all. They're all my
babies. I've read the men's room wall.
We have the Midnight Dusk. We have the one for heavy sleepers, and that's also good.
Oh, they're all good.
If you have slumber parties, I love a Helix party. And we are the Helix Girls, and we have been for such a long time that we know what works best for us and our bodies. But if you don't know, you could take a Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Also models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Ooh, plus enhanced cooling features to help you from overheating at night.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home, so that's why they offer a 100-night trial to try out your new Helix mattress and a 10- to 15-year warranty.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it's not going to last long.
It's so good, I'm going to say it again. That's helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Yeah. But these jokes, unfortunately.
The jokes are
not. To quote Trinity, where are the jokes? Where are the jokes?
Surprised Trinity didn't hold up a sign that said help. She used to do that during Haters Roast during Eureka set.
That's funny. I love
That's funny.
That's funny. Monique, did we talk about Monique yet? Well, Monique did like a charismatic pastor. I thought this was one of the stronger ones. I thought.
Well, this is a gimmick they always love on the show. They love like a wacky, like out there character with like a big voice and a big concept during a roast or a stand up thing. Yes. And that always does well.
It lends itself well to this scenario,
especially when you make your tits hilariously large.
Hey, it's a good gig.
And look, Bunny's
chuckling. Lady Bunny, the corpse is chuckles. She's chuckling. Valentina, you're absolutely right when you don't feel taken care of as an audience member, because it's like if she would have committed to the sunglasses coming off and like, look, it's fucked up again, like I did with the mask thing. Like if the eyelashes were all wrong and fucked up, it would have been really cool.
You can always tell how, they want you to feel about a performance by the cutaways to the judges and the looks on their faces. Cecily, and there was a two shot of Cecily and Ross where they were both like, kind of like that. And then the Rue, just the look to the
you
side.
You know, we can't see you right now.
Right.
Me?
As a podcast.
The visual.
Oh, I forgot. Damn.
You know, they're sort of like that.
Yeah.
They're making a face like this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I just got that, what you were doing. Wow. Took me a minute. But yeah, it's like, and on Valentina's, they did the same thing as they did on Naomi's, where it's like, huh? And it's kind of instructing a viewer like, oh, this is how these people are feeling. It's guiding. Yes.
Oh, like when they hand the audience knitting needles so that they can cut away to that? Like that kind of thing?
That was a joke!
Did they do that to you?
Most humiliating, like, minute of my life.
They did that?
Yeah. On my season, the stand-up challenge, which was, like, the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me publicly, was, they, like, handed them props, and it was a bunch of old folks. Like,
five
it was
or six?
Like,
what were you on?
Six. I had to think about that. Yeah, but they handed out props like knitting needles to these like old, like this. So this old woman was like knitting during her thing. They cut away to that.
During
my set.
You poor dear.
My set did not come off well. It was
I like that joke. Seattle is a moist place, but it's my moist place. I like that joke.
I mean, there was like, I think I like did some decent writing, but I was in like a panic mode where the whole thing was like, like there were no breaths in the set, so that didn't help anything.
Did it fare better than Laganja's comedy set?
Well, I
it's dry up here, kind of like your vagina. If it's not green, I'm not interested, Mama.
Well, okay. Listen, at least she knew her audience. She knew how to cater to the elderly
was me,
set,
and I loved it.
Oh my god,
Manila pulls out all the stops and knows exactly what she's doing. She's
doing an April Carry On umbrella fringe veil, lovely.
And just with that look, she has them all in the palm of her hand from the get-go.
I know
that opening look.
Manila is a seasoned performer, and She's well seasoned.
She's fully well seasoned. And she does the roast thing where you sort of let everyone have it. Mm-hmm. So you give a little to Michelle, you give a little to everybody sitting over on the side. It's not all just Lady Bunny jokes.
Do you think some of the girls didn't know what a roast actually was? Like,
yes, I do think maybe that.
Monet and Valentina haven't been to an actual roast or seen the James Franco Comedy Central one, you know? Like,
it's a specific type of comedy. It has a specific cadence and tone, and not everybody, you know, speaks that language.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's face.
The language of comedy is not one everyone is fluent in.
Mm-mm. Bunny sure is, though, and she wakes up and says, "Hallelujah."
Hallelujah!
Which I think is...
You know, I just really like Bianca Del Rio. I'm just going to mention Bianca Del Rio 35 times.
I saw her her one woman show for Christmas at Catalina Jazz Club right here on Highland. It was amazing.
Really?
She
killed it. And you know what she did? She walked in. She walked on stage and said, "How many of you people have been to the Catalina Jazz Club before?" And like three people clapped. And then she said, "How many of you people came out just to see me?" And the whole room went up. And she's like, "Thank you." Like, showing the club, like, "Bitch, book me again. I filled your fucking house." And I was like, "Balls, bitch. Yes, Bunny."
She is that bitch.
She is.
That's the reason she's the Lady Bunny.
That's true.
She's not a Lady Bunny.
Also, she sucks dick with a condom.
Hey.
Oh.
That's the reason she still is that bitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clever girl.
I love like, a computer losing in translation and calling her Woman Rabbit. It's so funny. I think Woman Rabbit is so funny.
Oh, Lady Bunny. That took us both. Me and Ben were like,
really?
Is Alaska having a seizure?
No, it is. It's like, I don't know why I think it's so funny. Because we were like talking about her in emojis once, and like, you couldn't like to spell out Lady Bunny in emojis. Uh-huh. It's Woman Rabbit.
What would you be? Oregon lightning shit?
Yes. Many, many times. Okay.
You'd be William.
Bill.
Ralph.
Oh, no.
Are all the Lady Bunny jokes about what she looks like out of drag funny to the people who... Like, I feel like there's a select few who actually know what Lady Bunny looks like out of drag, and they're doing a lot of those jokes. I'm like, are those funny to everybody else? Because I am, like, cackling at them.
Right, because we know.
Yeah.
But it was years before I ever... You know, interacted with her.
Oh, yeah.
She looks like a beautiful Helen Mirren.
I think she looks like the side piece of whoever Wilford Brimley would be fucking. But there's a very specific man for our younger viewers. He did life insurance ads. He was in The Firm with Tom Cruise. He did Quaker Oats ads. Bunny looks like the woman that Wilford Brimley would fuck. For sure.
Sure.
Okay. I can see that.
And you can see Wilford Brimley on Race Chaser Pod.
Wow. Cast? We're getting a lot of pod action.
Is it pod or podcast?
It's Race Chaser Pod is our Instagram account just for the podcast. Yeah.
How fun. Yeah, that's it.
I'm Wilford Brimley.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. I think she looks like Helen Mirren out of drag. Okay, well, let's get into...
she's Helen a mirror, that's for
sure. Wow. Let's get into the angelic white runway, darling. Oh, Monet Exchange is killing it. Pope, Vatican, devil eyes.
In a leotard.
And bringing her own carpet, though. I mean, so that's smart. That's the brilliant.
Pimp, it was a pimp move.
Yeah.
I think she looks great.
You're mad about the leotard.
I'm not mad about it. I think I could see more variety. I'd love to. And this walk back, she looks like she not a great walk.
Okay, next up we have Trinity the Tucktail Tour.
This look is so incredible. This is like the most glamorous version of when Bugs Bunny is seducing Elmer Fudd in What's Opera Dog.
You're that, right.
Yeah, I love it. I want her to be riding on that fat horse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I love it.
You're right.
Oh, man.
She looks great. What?
Nothing. But I do love Trinity's outfit because anytime you can bring movement to your outfit mm-hmm. somehow, and like fringe or ostrich feathers floating, it makes people not want to look away because you're like floating. And
it's one thing to choose an outfit that you can like be photographed in, and another one that you can look really good walking on that slippery runway.
Right.
I was always like scooting around on that thing.
And you want to talk holes in the stage, darling. We had a few holes in the stage at the theater at the Ace Hotel. Do you want to bleep that, the name of the
no.
theater?
No. Because they need to be held accountable and fix it.
Know where the show was.
We did an event last night. No, there was a
and
huge
we had a
gap
pony, too.
Yes, we did.
Two ponies.
We did well, it.
The crowd went wild.
Yeah. I mean, is this the forum to talk about our
why
animal,
not?
Animal rights violations?
I think we should. It's recently been brought to our attention.
Okay, someone slid into Willem's DMs and
they said
they had things to say about the fact that we hired two ponies to make an onstage appearance in the live show last night.
And here it goes. Hi, I have some questions about Race Chaser Live today. Why did you put a ponies on the stage at Race Chaser Live? Was there any reason to be sure? I expected that when William said bringing a pony, she would prepare a pony drag or something clever or a funny thing that we couldn't imagine. But they brought actual ponies. Was it fun? To me, it didn't look fun at all. I was in a very big shock when I saw the ponies being exploited and their faces that didn't look happy at all. Because ponies can fucking smile? Okay.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Sorry. The place where ponies should be is nature, not the stage with aggressive, strong lighting on animal and loud screaming of crowds. So you should be in nature. The ponies would love... ponies would love have come a long way in a car, apparently, for the show, and they would have been stressed. Why do they go through such a thing? Even if they live in the city, humans do not have the right to put them on the stage. Animals are not human accessories, tools, or spectacles. I'm a big fan of Alaska and Race Chaser. As much as I love you all, I couldn't pass this problem. Yeah. I hope you to ponder once more about exploiting animals before second Race Chaser Live and to publicly share your thoughts on them. Thank you for reading the long message. You're welcome.
So, Ben, you're from Seattle.
I'm from Seattle.
Which is the forefront of, like, progressive ideals.
Yes.
It really is. So, is it fucked up that we should we...
Oh, you're putting this on me.
Well, I'm just asking your opinion, because I don't...
Wow.
I don't
all right,
know.
Everyone
I mean,
at
the
home,
ponies...
not only are these two animal abusers, but they also won't even accept the responsibility, and they're trying to pass it off on those innocents from the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know.
I don't want to put it all on you. I understand, like, I don't know, but it's also, like, difficult and stressful for humans to be on stage, and we were on stage a lot longer.
Those ponies weren't the only thing being exploited.
They were kind of treated, like, really amazingly, and they were really happy. They were there with their whole family.
They were wearing human hair wigs.
It's, kind of, like, it's their job. Like,
my pony
I don't
had
think,
a ponytail.
I don't think they'd be comfortable, honestly, like, out in the wilderness. Because
they're show ponies.
Because, I mean, it's their life and...
Well, the reality is that you didn't pluck them out of the wild. It's, you know...
we did. Off the side of the street. No, we did that.
But, like, this is what those ponies do. Like, this is what they've been... The career they've been roped into against their wills. But, like, if they weren't at your gig, they'd be at a different gig, you know? So, like, is that an animal rights violation? Like, that's its own conversation.
You know when you see an animal, like, nuzzling their owner, like, getting into, like, their neck or their armpit crook? That pony went straight into my crotch, so I knew it was comfortable. It was looking for, like, you know, that
warmth and moisture.
That exploitative center.
Adhesives.
Well, it's probably, it just, like, smelled the most human pheromone in that zone. But
no, she was kicked off second.
Oh, no. Okay, wait, but, so right after season 6, I did a commercial for, like, Vegas tourism or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. Courtney was in it, yeah.
So I had to reshoot my segment because the first one that we shot was at, like, a dolphin pool or whatever, and I don't remember what the name was, but apparently, so I shot this footage in front of this dolphin pool and took an Instagram photo of this dolphin, like, jumping out behind me, and I posted it on Instagram. This was just after filming, and suddenly I had on all my social media pictures of, like, dolphins with lesions on them and all this stuff being sent to me, and all this stuff that says dolphin smiles are nature's biggest lie, because apparently the hotel was, like, sort of known for abuses against the animals, or I had no idea.
Yeah.
And somebody launched a website called Ben de la Creme Visits Dolphin Death Pool.
Oh my God.
So anyway, all this craziness happened, and I had to go and reshoot, like, in a different spot. It was
really
crazy.
You went to a whale death pool.
Yeah, I went to the
Wow.
Actually, but I was going to make up a whole backstory about how like a dolphin killed my mom, and this was like my big thing was that I was just it was like a vent. I was going to like take photos of, with a harpoon gun, right, like on a rowboat in the middle of
put
the
your
ocean.
In the blowhole and say good luck. Good luck.
Oh my God.
So anyway, but you know, I can relate.
I really wanted to reenact a Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken moment and ride the horse into the audience into a pool of water.
Okay.
But that was an opportunity given to me.
Well, I just, well, I want everyone to, I want, whether you were at the show or not, I want everyone out there to rest assured that the ponies were really happy. They were really nice. The family that was with them were really nice. And like, they seemed into it. And if they weren't, then like, we wouldn't have done it. Point blank. They were there for like literally 20 minutes total.
They were treated better than us. We were there from 3 o'clock until 11 o'clock.
Midnight. No food.
Then no food because I thought I was going to get fucked later. And then I realized in the meet and greet, the guy that was going to bring the platforms home that we were dancing around on and pussyfooting about and fancy footing.
Fancy footworking.
Yeah. He left and I said, fuck, that means I need to get up in the morning and go down there. In the, and oh, Lord, it started to rain. It had rained, yeah, and I was really wet. Did. I was moated, pressed.
Yes. Now you're verse.
Now I'm verse.
All that lifting turned you into a power.
Well, I
verse.
Really want. I put once I had everything strapped up and the bungee cords and the tarp. I was like, "Ooh, I'll do a little Instagram. Like this is why we jeep." And then I forgot to take a picture.
Did you make a lap through the Home Depot parking lot?
No, I went to Annawalt on Highland because it's closer to my house. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we could return to this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. We are mid-runway. Like, we literally stopped right as Monique Hart.
Right as the ad for 3-Day Blinds came out.
Well, it's made out of Venetian blinds. And the bigger flaps on her shoulder look like they're those bigger folding
blinds.
Yeah,
it's very Archangel Gabriel, Warrior Angel. But I don't understand why she puts all that beads and gorgeousness at the top, but she can't line the skirt. Lining a skirt is the easiest thing to do.
She just finished her season of Drag Race.
You know what, though? She came back on to Drag Race, spouting off at the mouth that she had the money now and blah, 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 and XYZ, and she has the designs and the couture. That's the finishings. You know, the finishings will get you every time.
It is, I mean, especially on All Stars, it is the little tiny details that it really comes down to that because everyone's performing at such a high level.
Yeah.
Except Ben, who performs much higher than everyone. But it comes down to...
For the listeners at home, I'm shrugging.
It comes down to those little minute details. Like, is the skirt lined, you know, that sort of thing.
We're faggots. We judge. It's what we do.
Naomi Smalls looks amazing. She's doing a Prince tribute.
It's incredible.
Yes, she looks great. The guitar looks fierce.
Mm-hmm.
The legs never stop. Ugh. They can't stop. They won't stop.
If I didn't know her.
Sister Dick will make you sick. That's what I've heard from wise philosophers. So have you broken that rule, Willem? Your silence speaks volumes.
Yeah, but hands on or mouth? Hands or whole?
Anything.
Then yes.
Okay.
For sure.
All right, Gorge.
For sure.
Valentina finished her makeup.
Oh, thank goodness.
Is she the only one who didn't change her hair, though? That's a complete shade rattle moment. It is, because everyone else is like, this is my funeral look. This is my completely different angelic look. Like, I mean, Trinity Taylor had kind of a tall order because she had kind of crazy makeup for the funeral and then was completely glamorous.
Nobody has enough time for what you're trying to do on Drag Race. That's why it's Drag Race. We're all doing too much in too little time.
I used to tell the girls at the mirror, slow down. They can't bring one of us if we're all not ready.
Yeah. Manila looks amazing.
This hair.
Manila looks resplendent.
Resplendent, yes.
Yeah,
I like
good
word,
right?
What's on it? Does she have little cherubs on her ovaries? What's going on?
Yes.
What is that? Oh my God, it's so cute.
Yes.
You can tell immediately by looking at the theme. The theme is angels, white, cherubs.
Goddess.
I wasn't getting that specifically from Valentina. I was getting pretty dressed with feathers.
I agree with you on that.
It didn't give me angel. Manila's got wings in her hair. She looks like a goddess.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, Manila was giving full season 3 music video with RuPaul champion throwing a spear.
It was that, which is still my favorite promo look. So
good. Let's watch that on the break. All right.
We are back as the two tops. Manila and Monet are stooping through the doorway, coming back into the workroom. And this is a tough call because the two girls in the top are in the top, and then everyone else is in the bottom. So, I know, gasp. Visible gasps in the studio.
Yeah.
Visible, audible gasps.
I think
I saw it too, though.
Yeah, you do.
It was visible.
Anytime you have more than... anytime you have this many bottoms in a room, it's not going to be a good situation.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's greedy and out for himself.
Yeah, the odds are bad.
Bad.
Valentina's in
denial.
Can I go home tonight?
She lives in her own little world, and it must be a beautiful world.
She's a star queen.
I am boiling right now. That one judge with the gold and the fringe and the bang.
The one with the bun and the gold? I am boiling right now. Her non-constructive criticism?
Oh, anyway. Everybody else is in the bottom. And I think that the Rockstar Wigs wardrobe is a disgusting prize because they make cosplay
Come
wigs.
On.
They make cosplay wigs, and they didn't pay my friend who's a drag queen who did modeling for him.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, and I'm Modisha Jenkins about it. Petrolude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Misty Maven, too, back in the day. And there were also shenanigans. Not just with the coin, but otherwise.
Okay, so we won't be getting an ad spot from them any day.
How dare you?
Man. The girls all kind of defend themselves. Valentina is in a complete state of delusia.
She truly is.
Yeah, delusia. and so the girls are sort of like, everyone's like, I don't know what to do. So they change the clothes for the lip sync.
Yeah, and
can we get into the outfits for a second? They were just on screen.
I know
that we keep bringing up the screen. We're relying heavily on the screen this episode. We don't normally do this because then it's just us sitting quietly watching Drag Race with the volume down.
Which, if you think that's what we're doing podcast. When we do the podcast live, it's not. We also have animal exploitation and local queen exploitation.
Right now, there is a rare bald eagle in the studio that we have muzzled.
Yeah. We're milking it. We're milking it right now for its precious milk.
I'm using the feathers.
I don't know what about either of
well,
these outfits
wait,
Aretha.
Didn't Monet wear this look on her season of Drag Race?
Did she?
This exact look? Am I on glue? Can we get a side-by-side?
You made glue out of the horses.
Can we get a ruling, please? Because
if there's anyone I trust to clock that, then it's you.
She's been wrong.
The
really?
Reason I,
twice.
Oh, yes.
Another visual gasp.
Right. Visual gasp. I just gasped, but you couldn't hear it. It was only visual.
Something too visual.
Maybe it was in red, and it was like a red sparkly bodysuit and the short,
little pussycat
the
bus pussycat driver wig.
However,
boot scoop.
Okay, the other side of the coin is, if Monet wins this whole show, I would like to see her. That's it. That's the look. It's like her iconic look.
Mm-hmm.
If Monet
Just
wins the
you
whole
wear
show,
it doesn't make it iconic.
I want for her final look to wear a full sequin cat suit and a pussycat wig. I want it to be straight up that, because that is like her iconic go-to. Okay, and what is Manila wearing?
I'm obsessed with Manila's outfit in this.
It's sort of like an 80s like nice girl, like,
well, she's got this like, she's got her Bob Ross hair.
It's like a casual Kelly, like, blousey sort of.
Well, she's
pants.
Got those, like, high waisted, like, khakis, which reminds me, like, all my cartoon references reminds me of Yakko from Animaniacs. That's what it gives me.
It's a good camel. That's not a pant, it's a slack.
Sure.
Slacks.
And
sure.
Why is she doing that side by side? 10 years ago. Oh, she's doing, like, a throwback to herself?
Yeah, with a similar.
Oh, I love that. And that's why I love watching Manila's. Have you watched Pineapple Couture on YouTube?
No.
It's cool.
She basically just does a quick breakdown of like, this is what I was thinking with this look. And I love getting in her brain because it's always
all
so,
of her stuff
like,
is amazing.
Yeah.
That Marvin the Martian look that she was doing on Battle of the Seasons for a while was just like blew my mind.
It's so thought out and really brilliant.
She's great.
Yeah, she looks like she'd be like the best friend from school of the girl in the 80s horror movie.
Mm-hmm. She looks like she'd have an accent. The girl that came to school with the accent.
Sure, yeah.
Like chic. Ooh, where'd she summer? I don't like this song.
I didn't know this song going
into
it.
Oh, really? I loved it because I love like spoken stuff for lip sync. I love all the weird sounds that it starts with that aren't like actual lyrics. I love seeing how somebody has to interpret that.
Yeah.
Me too. I love the agility and the finesse of that, but I want a song that I know or that I'd want to tip the girl for, you know? Mm. Like, this isn't a song I'd want to tip either of these girls for. I don't know. That's just me.
You just sit stone-faced in the front row
with
your dollar bills on the table, your hands folded over them.
I would get on my phone and start taking selfies of myself.
No! I feel totally the opposite. Like, when it's just, like, a song that I'm like, okay, well, I can bop around to this, too. But, like, this is, like, such a challenge to get these lyrics.
Yeah.
And you have to interpret them. Like, Monet winds up doing like these really like weird mouth movements that don't even feel lyrically related.
It's funny
really
though.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manila just checked her watch, so I'm sure there was a lyric about time.
There's a lot of turning around to the back because this is hard to do.
It's really hard. It's a hard song.
Are they saying jump to me and none of them are
jump
jumping?
To it.
Jump to it.
They do fully jump.
Oh my God, do you remember Shangela pulled out that jump rope?
Did she?
Yeah, we were lip syncing against each other and she pulled out a jump rope. Like out
Why?
Of her, who knows? Because
Was it a song about jumping?
Yeah. It was Pointer Sisters.
Oh, jump! Yeah. Oh, well, that makes sense.
No, it was great, but it was such a good gimmick.
Did she win?
Yeah. Huh. Right?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
It was against me. I think she won.
They're both
clinging to this so hard. It's like barely there, but they're doing it.
It's passable.
A very wise man.
Conversationable.
I never would have been able to do this on Drag Race.
Monet just did it. Can you go back 3 seconds?
That tongue thing was so cool.
It's no. This was like the shining moment to me of the lip sync.
And now we'll watch it in reverse.
I love it. It's good that way too.
Okay.
Michelle eating it up.
See that? It's like amazing. That's.
I think my friend Gabe said it last night, but one of the worst ideas that you can do in a lip sync is stand directly next to your competition because then it's a direct comparison.
Unless you're doing better, you know, it's like the best choice.
Truth.
Or if you're struggling so far behind that you just like need some camera time, like because you know otherwise they're not going to keep you in the shot.
Wow. I thought it was a good lip sync. I didn't know the song, but I thought it was a good lip sync.
I think the lipsticks are more interesting than the lip sync because
we don't even get to the lipsticks.
No, but they don't talk about it after, so we can't talk about it.
Not
then.
On this episode. I don't know what scalding dish you have and insider teas that you have privy access to.
Well, we'll have to talk about it next week.
Yeah. So, but this is the gag of the season.
And Gaganzola.
Gaganzola.
For sure.
They both win the lip sync. They split the $10,000.
It's a $3,000 gift card from Moo London.
They already won that.
Oh.
That was like the, yeah.
Yeah, no,
was
they
like
each
the
get
prize
5K
prize.
For this
yeah.
lip sync.
Yeah. Because they both won. And then they go back, and then RuPaul says all star rules are suspended until further notice.
I wish one of them just got up and walked out and said, you know what, enough. You can't keep changing the rules. I agreed to come here, but they can. But at a certain point, it's like, girl, we realize you're changing the rules because you have to produce the show you want to produce. And they know whose lipsticks are in those girls' titties.
Yeah.
So they're not going to send that girl home if both of the people have the same name in their titties, and the producers don't want that girl to go home because she makes great TV, they're going to say, you know what, we're changing the rules. And then they're going to change the rules.
Well, here at Race Chaser, we're changing all the rules. Starting tomorrow, we will be airing season 8, mid-season, and we're releasing them on Thursday mornings.
What the tuck?
And we're going in backwards order. And I'm going to be producing, a Big Dipper's going to be sitting in his chair. No, we're not really doing that.
I'm plucked.
Full pluck?
Full pluck.
She's at a full pluck.
Do you think that on their schedule, they were like, episode 5, we're going to flip the rules no matter what?
No. Yes. I think that they needed to prevent the girl in her titty going home.
I don't know, because... No, because there's the network buys however many episodes.
Sure.
There's this many girls. So that means they have to bring everyone back so that all the episodes get filled. So they knew that this was going to happen. They knew there was going to be a double save and that they were going to bring back girls.
Sure.
Okay.
Right, I mean, it always happens. Like, they always just, like, find some way to make the same thing. Like, they always do that on every season and then just, like, find some way to make it feel shocking even though we all know it's coming.
I was shocked. When I watched this on my phone for the first time seeing it, I knew it was going to happen. The girls come back every single All-Stars.
Right, but you sort of singularly...
I said, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, I'm actually shocked with, like, this show.
But
really
you approach the show with a wide-eyed, starry-eyed, youthful wonder that almost nobody else watches it with, which I find very admirable.
Now, did you have that going back into All Stars 3? Did you have that mindset of, you know, this is a fair and just competition? Or when you walked, were you walking because you were done? Or were you walking because you were like, fuck this.
When I left?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just like, you know, I mean, when I went into it, I mean, at this point, I understand what the thing is. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, you go into it.
That's Rue.
You know, I think I went into it with sort of this internal struggle because there's a lot of things that I think are amazing about it, and there were definitely things I didn't like and didn't want to participate in, and then I was just in this rare moment of, oh my God, I did so much better than I expected to, that I actually am uniquely in a position to just be like, okay, well, I don't want to do the other part because I got to do the part I wanted to do. Yeah. So it was just kind of like, cool. I've just wound up being in the position not to sacrifice the part I didn't want to sacrifice. It was very, like, it was a very unique moment, and I was glad I grabbed it while I could.
I think you did the right thing because so many people don't stay at a party while it's not fun anymore, and you left them wanting more. Everybody wanted more of you, and we still do. And that red hat, you still got to wear that, bitch.
It's true.
Bitch, that red hat.
It's true.
That was a hat.
And how boring would it have been if I just, like, stuck around? You know what I mean? Like, it was like, you need to keep the show
girl,
fresh.
You were the season for that. You know, it's cool that Trixie won and Shangela has that one crack where her face goes from Shangela to when they're like, you aren't the top two. Like, those are good moments and everything, too, but you were the gag of the season. Like, and it was,
that's the gag of the season.
You are. I think I was the gag of my season. You were the gag of your season. I've seen your dick. People have
and
gagged
have
on you, I bet. And you have beautiful bounds.
Beautiful bounds.
I look forward to seeing you in the future. Where can we see you more?
Well,
where's your next show? Where's the gigs?
Yeah, well, I'll be on Haters Roast, only a select few cities this winter.
Select markets.
And then I'm actually going back to Seattle to work on my next solo show, and then I'll be premiering that and touring it throughout 2019. Details to be announced.
And so what else? Are you up to anything else?
Yeah. Well, Jinx Monsoon and I will be starring in Peaches Christ's Drag Becomes Her.
It was so good. I saw it so here good. And it was my favorite thing I saw last year.
It's really, really, really fun. And it's a fun group to work with, and Major Scales is Bruce Willis. And we'll be doing that show in the UK for the entire month of May.
You look so great as a redhead, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Showing your range.
Yeah. I really try to diversify. Yeah. But yeah, you can find me I'll be in New York. I'll be doing my summer in Provincetown with my solo work, and then I'll be touring around.
Cousin, I got a little too moist. All them tights and them pads and but the hardware.
No, you're place. Drenched the entire, yeah.
Ugh, that's true. I just couldn't.
Before we end, can we look at the queens who are returning in the workroom and what they're wearing, because they look so amazing.
Yes.
And this is the moment where the girls have so much time to get ready. Like, they're all kind of ready and like fuming and like pissed. And like, this is my favorite moment of when the returning girls come back.
Ooh,
seeing what they wear.
And the looks on the faces, girl, they got some bitter bussies.
Yeah.
When they see all these girls back, like they didn't know what was happening.
Like when you all came back, you wore the fucking red hat.
Mm-hmm.
That red
Everyone
hat.
Looked so fucking right.
Right. Well, it's like you have chairs. Your best outfit you've been hanging on to, and then suddenly there's like, you know, the stakes are, there's no reason to hang on to it.
They're all given the prompt clearly to do funeral black.
I love that
Farrah wears a red dress.
Bitch, red dress to a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks great.
Always.
She always looks great.
GL looks unreal.
Gia looks incredible.
Jasmine has the Andromeda strain as a hat. Gia looks great as a blonde, and she's in a lube. And
Latrice.
Latrice looks like Loretta Devine. Beautiful.
She looks gorgeous.
Yeah,
her
hair
is just laying.
Mm-hmm.
How
this,
do you think
these
they
feather details
this?
On Gia? I mean, this is she's just
Gia
never
looks
looked.
Like the ad for the Winter's Huntsman, where like the crows turn
mm-hmm.
stuff out
yeah.
of the outfit.
Yeah.
It's just all this stuff floating around her. It's a beautiful garment, and I love seeing her in the 613 with this black lip.
Yeah,
she looks sickening.
I mean, Gia is a beautiful woman and always looks beautiful, but this is like nothing I've ever seen. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. 100.
They all look great. It's always so fun seeing the girls return. So who knows what's going to happen next?
Twists
time.
And turns. Gaps and goops.
Twists and shouting and screaming.
More twists and turns than Latrice Royale on a cul-de-sac.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for
having me.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for coming to our luxuriously appointed studio. Please help yourself to a beverage on the way out from the Red Bull sponsor.
Yeah.
And
perfect
keto
bars.
I hear there's
Halo Top in the fridge.
There's Halo Top in the fridge. And afterwards, if that makes you runny, use the Lola bath products in the bathroom.
Well, thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on Race Chaser. And thank you to all at home or in your gyms or in your works or your cars. And we will be back on our next episode, continuing recapping Drag Race, current events, or whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Willem.
Mid-season 7. I'm Alaska. And you can rate our podcast and comment about how fantastic it is.
Don't be dicks.
And subscribe to make sure when you know each episode is coming out.
Yeah, don't be dicks, but send the dicks in their DMs.
Ponies are people too.
I like pony play. Special thanks to our guest star, Ben de la Creme. And you can find him at Ben de la Creme.
Mm-hmm.
And follow me at Willem and at The Only Alaska 5000.
Mm-hmm.
And our Race Chaser podcast is at Race Chaser Pod.
Yes. Send us those memes for the IG stories. Thank you to everyone who came out to the live show. We had such an amazing time.
Yeah.
And when you're tagging us, use that hashtag Race Chaser. Until next time.
Or if you're going to see us in San Fran, check us out at the Castro Theater January 22nd at racechasertickets.com.
Yeah.
And we're serious about all of them dicks, too. Thanks.
Bye.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever
Dog. Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck, available on iTunes.